I said, they're accusing me of being drunk. Are you drunk tonight? Are you reckless tonight? The early church, they used to say, Maranatha, the Lord is at hand. They went from house to house breaking bread. Let's read some of the attributes. I want to tell you, and either we get this or we ought to go back and join the Lord. Some of you ought to go back to the nightclub because that's where your heart is anyway. You ought to go back to that television. It was an effort to turn it off tonight. There your heart is, there will your treasure be also. You're going to have to get above it. Amen. Some people say, bless God, I'm walking with God. It's such an effort. I tempted all the time and tried the women. You better get to the place where you get victory over some of the things. Because if you don't get your heart with God, where your heart is, that's what's going to matter in the long run. Oh, I know. Surely there'll be temptation. When you begin to walk with God, there'll be all sorts of things. If you were tempted in morals, you'll have an awful fight. But if you're 10, 15 years old and you're still burning with lust, there's something wrong with you. If you're 10 or 15 years old in the gospel of Christ, you ought to be overcoming some things. Come on now, children, we ought to be grown up to the match, to the master's stature, to the fullness of Christ Jesus. I want to get this thing that makes you a new creature, and I'm either going to get it or I'm not going to fool around being a hypocrite for nobody. I don't want to have the charge said to me, woe unto you, scribes and hypocrites. I don't want to hear to say to me, you stood with a loud voice in the synagogue wanting to be seen of men raising your voice that they might hear you. I don't want that charge made against me, do you? I'm not through. Some of your blessings. I hope I'm through anyway. Unless some of you resist it too much, then I might preach till I get you the victory. And with many other words did he testify, and he exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Who? This terrible generation of religion that had actually encompassed the whole earth. Everyone was in the royal order of Sadducees or Pharisees or something. That untoward generation was religion. There's nothing more mean than religion. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, don't substitute a form of godliness. I'd rather be an outright harlot and drunk any day than to have a form of godliness. Amen. Coming in here with our hearts a far mile from him and length span away from the love of God and going through a song and a dance and so much religious theology, I want the presence of God or I don't want it at all. Then they gladly received his word, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I tell you, when we get it, something will happen to you. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. This doctrine wasn't a passive thing. It was an active thing. It was called, the word doctrine came from an extracted word meaning learner. They learned about the ways of God. Wake up, children. If you're sleepy, now wake up. If you need healing, come up here and I'll get the healing. Because God's able to take the burdens away tonight. Don't you believe that? Amen. He's able to remove these terrible slumbering spirits. The reason we can't endure the preaching is because we're just a little bit cold. We've got too much of the world involved in our lives. We're entangled with the affairs of man. We're going to have to get victory over it. Sure, I'm not a good preacher, but that doesn't make anything to do with it. Paul said he spoke with contempt. There wasn't anything particularly attractive about his words. He didn't have any great enticing words of man's wisdom. He came to them simply in the boldness of the Holy Ghost. And you look the preacher in the eye, and you've got to sleep all the time. You need to get healed, and you need to call on God. Either get rid of the biggest problem that causes you to sleep, or get victory over your soul. And I don't care if there's not a dozen of you come back next time, because for 3 years, I haven't taken any money for the gospel, and I'm free from all men. I'm the servant of all. Neither you endure sound doctrine when I preach, or you don't hear it. Usually it happens, you just don't come back. I've met about 150,000 people since God gave us the little simple gift that we have. They come and they go. I've met a lot of people. I don't know where they all went, but it's just good to still keep preaching Jesus. Say amen, or oh me. I tell you, when you realize that Jesus Christ, the riches of Jesus Christ are unsearchable and inexhaustible, you'll keep an active learning faith. He said they were learners. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Not a static church that looks backward, not a church that looks to the sunset, but a church that looks to the sunrise. When God's people really get filled with the Holy Ghost, they're always looking forward. They're looking for new truth and new horizons. They're not afraid. Some people said, I haven't moved 1/16 of an inch in 20 years since I got the Holy Ghost. Well, that's a terrible thing to say. If you don't know any more today than you knew yesterday, you're not really filled with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will charge you. The Holy Ghost will teach you. The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. If all you know is Acts 2:4 and Acts 2:38 and a little message about the atonement and the resurrection and pie in the sky and gold in the sweet by and by, you don't know nothing what's going on.
That's right.
Did you hear me? You just don't know what's going on. For God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. God's not a God to fire up, but God is a God that can hand. He's a God that's mighty in the midst of you. Hallelujah. He's an ever-present help. If you're not ready tonight, if your soul's not going tonight, you're dead. You haven't got the Holy Ghost. You've got a bondage. You've got a farm. And I'm here to resurrect you to kill you or to save you.
Amen. That's right.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. You know, I want to be in a church that has a feeling that you're with a band of brothers and sisters, don't you? We're so starchy when we come in. Somebody's got to sing literature to us. Somebody's got to lull us to worship. Anymore, you got to be told when to lift your hands and when to praise the Lord. But I want to get to the place where we stand up like a few of you did tonight when we sang something. One stood up and another stood up, and they were anxiously praising God. And I want to be in a church where people are not afraid of the altar, not afraid of slobbering a few tears over one another, not afraid of giving one another a holy kiss. Come on. Some of the Pentecostal people, they amuse me. They'll be sick as a die on every other scripture, but they'll say that holy kiss, that's a custom. They'll say that was a custom back there. Our foot washing, that was a custom back there. Oh, it's wonderful how we can make a custom out of one thing and a law out of another. Who do we say we are? You need to wash somebody's foot today, most of them. You got too much starch today. You need to wash somebody's feet, and not some little grandma that you love, but you need to go to that fella you don't like at all. I never will forget one old sister fought foot washing in our church. She was so starchy and so icicly. She said, I'm not going to wash feet. And she said, well, finally, we talked her into washing feet. She did. She's going to wash the foot of a friend. She went to the friend. The friend wouldn't have her wash, wouldn't let her wash her feet. She said, you're not supposed to wash my feet. Lord told me somebody else supposed to wash my feet. And so that poor old sister just sat there. And the blackest Negro woman in my church, she hated him. She hated him so bad. She couldn't stand him. She just couldn't stand to look at him. The blackest, ugliest, dirtiest Negro woman in my church come a-trotting up and sat down and said, wash my feet. And the scales were on their feet till it stopped, but she washed the feet, and she got the victory when she washed the feet. Some of my best members, I didn't speak that to reflect on race. I've got a principal and a doctor and a dentist in my church who are Negro, my best and most intelligent people, and some of my most forthright of our constituency. About 10% are Negro, and by far the 10% of our Negro congregation have got more intelligence than some of our so-called white people. But in our church, we don't call them white or Negro, we call them by name. You don't need to call me white or this or that or the other. Call me by name if you want to get me. Just call me by name. Or just show your love and beckon me. I'll come. We don't have, there's no race in God. There's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Greek nor Jew, Scythian nor barbarian. But if you don't want to wash somebody's feet, God will let you sit by the dirtiest and the ugliest and the most antagonistic situation. That's who you're going to have to sit by. I believe in foot washing. I haven't seen anybody that has humbled themselves enough to get out of it. I believe in foot washing. I believe in a holy kiss. I believe in an old-fashioned hug. I believe in everyone, we get somebody to order. I don't believe in people standing back looking on in a kind of a doleful, dog-hound spirit as friendly as an undertaker. But I believe in getting up to the altar and praying people through and getting over them and shedding your love across in their heart and putting your hand on their back. I believe in fellowship. Don't keep that. What is that thing you could tell me about? Oh, you better not tell me. I just about miscued. But fellowship's a good ship to be on. But he told me about another kind of a ship. I won't tell you about that. But you know what kind of a ship I'm talking about. When there's not fellowship, it's an awful ship. It's an awful ship when there's not fellowship. You need fellowship to get through the storms of life and the opposing forces of hell. You need fellowship. We're at arm length. We don't know enough about one another. We're afraid to touch one another. We're afraid to say to our neighbor who we are. We ought never to look around and see who our friends are. We ought to be just perfectly free to take that hand of that person. Yeah. Because we're members one of another. And before we leave tonight, I hope you'll grow together and you'll get to know one another. And you'll tell somebody who you are and give them the love of God, because we're going to have to go in together. We're either going to go in together or we're not going to go in at all. We're either going to pray our Father in heaven, and that's going to include the Russians and the Negro and the Carmelites and the Baptists and the Trinitarians and the Oneness. We're either going to say our Father, or there'll be no Father. He's not my Father, but he's our Father. Our Father which art in heaven. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I want you to know I'm a brother to the Quaker. I'm a brother to every religion under the sun if they love Jesus.
Amen.
If for Calvary you stand, you're my brother. Take my hand. And it said, they broke bread. They used to have a custom in those days. They'd take a piece of bread, and you had to break it with somebody just a little bit tense with you. And if you didn't do it, too bad for you. Oh, I'd love to be back there, wouldn't you? I'd give my eye teeth to be back there in that kind of a situation. But I wouldn't go back there from a revelation standpoint. This is the greatest hour in the world to be alive. But wouldn't you like to have the sincerity of that early church? Wouldn't you like to have the desperate hunger of that early church? How many really want it tonight? You want what God has for you. I talked to an undertaker the other day. I had 3 funerals outside of our church community last week. I about decided to let the dead bury the dead, because everybody outside the church is calling me on to mom me to bury them, and it's an awful thing to have to bury people all the time. It's hard to keep alive burying people. But anyway, I met the undertaker. That's true. I wish the place we'd get the place where we shove them in the ground and praise God for the awakening and reunion. Instead of dressing them up and look at them for 3 or 4 days and going through all that kind of a trauma, if I hadn't had to look at my baby doll and all those precious loved ones, I could have remembered them in a living state when the 6 of them went out to meet God and they danced their way around the Elmwood Temple that night and they shouted like some of them never shouted before. I'd like to just let them go on to glory and say the last word there. But we dress up the dead, let the dead bury the dead, and say the church ought to get out of this. If you're one of those, I didn't mean to drop this in, but I just say what I believe. If you're one of them that sends a lot of flowers and go through all that, why don't you give a little flowers while they're alive? Come on, give them their flowers while they're alive. Quit it dressing up a carcass and trying to praise the dead. We need to let the dead bury the dead and go on, believe in the resurrection. They broke bread. And honey, in that undertaker told me, he said in the Mennonite church they used to come to communion. Excuse me. They used to come to communion and they'd be ready to take the Lord's Supper, and the preacher would look up in a kind of an authoritative way and he'd say, Sister Jones and Sister Smith, if you please retire or either come up here and repent, you don't take the Lord's Supper, because you can't take it unworthily. He said, Sister Jones, you're not speaking to Sister Smith, and you think you're better than so-and-so, or you haven't paid your tithes. Uh-oh, we wouldn't like that, would we? You haven't done this, you haven't done that. And brother and sister, they didn't take Holy Communion until they got their lives straightened up. I'd like to be in an atmosphere where man didn't do that, but where the Spirit made it impossible for a sinner to sit in the congregation of the righteous. They broke bread and they had prayer. If you don't begin by speaking to God in the morning, you better not speak to men. You'll get in trouble all day long. When we come into the house of God, we used to drop on our knees. Listen to a few of these points. It'll help our services. We used to drop on our knees and we pray. Not only the preachers, but every saint, every believer would drop on their knees and dedicate the little corner or atmosphere they were sitting in. If you don't begin your service with prayer, you don't need to expect God to have any part or lot with it. And fear came upon them. Reverence. We ought to get the attitude that old Martin Luther said. He walked through the world as if it were one big temple. We ought to have such a holiness and such a devotion and such a Christ consciousness that everywhere we go, we reverence people and we reverence nature and we reverence life. You can't possibly be one person on the job and another thing in the church. Why, our vernacular in the church is praise the Lord and glory, hallelujah. And we just say, well, you get real victory and you meet him downtown and say, hiya. Never meet him downtown. Never meet him when they work on the office forces around him. And you know, the preacher will come along and say, praise the Lord. Hiya. Oh, my God. If you can say praise the Lord in the house of God, we can say praise the Lord down on the street corner.
Yeah.
I tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am ashamed of this dogfighting. I am ashamed of contention. I wouldn't get in argument theology with anybody. I think it's a crime to discuss theology or politics and fuss and argue over it. If Christ can't convince people, then we ought to leave it alone. But I tell you, there's nothing to be ashamed of. We met a drunk the other day. A few of us met a drunk on the street corner, and he was in a terrible depression, and the traffic counters were moving, and people were running around, and horns were beeping, but he needed God right then. So we stopped on the street corner, and we laid hands on him, and people looked at us like they thought we were crazy, but we prayed that the powers of hell would loose him right there down on Market Street in Alabama in the city of Indianapolis. We ought to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to be ashamed to witness for God. We ought to be ashamed of the power of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You feel like praying for somebody when you're on the streetcar, you ought to walk over there and tell them, I'm a minister of God. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I've come to you in the name of the Lord, offering you peace, health, or strength.
Amen. How many do that? Well, I won't ask any hands. You ready to go home? Too bad. And all that believe were together and had all things common. They were together. There was togetherness. There was a cordial warmth and flow. We have now in the temple four ministers. Brother Imes, a tall Negro minister who's with us. Brother Bean, Brother Winberg. It seems like when one gets a song, the other gets it. What comes into one's mind comes into the other. I'm not the pastor, but we're four pastors. And we get along beautifully. I'm so thankful for just a little bit of it. Just a little bit of it. The touch of togetherness that creates a fellowship in the heart. And we need that. I won't elaborate on it. It speaks for itself. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now what are you going to do with that? Any opinion? No, I didn't think so. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Where did they go? Where did Pentecost fall in the first place? In a holy cathedral? In a shrine of Jewish worship? In a synagogue? No, it fell in a house. God meant to sanctify every natural thing. The church first met in the house. I think some of them would be better off if they went back to meeting in the house, too. Don't you? I think some of it would be better if we went from house to house breaking bread. We'd be better off in what we're doing, setting up churches and war sections on every corner, fighting as the old song used to sing. What is it? The three-cornered harmony they'd sing? Oh, that will be glory for me. How does that song go? It's true, and it's pitiful. Communism has sold itself to the position of the group mind. The only one thing that's going to counter communism, it has its Messiah. It has its Bible. It has its kingdom. And the only thing that's going to stop it, and that's going to have to come about quickly, is for us to sell what we have and part them to every man who's had need. Some people look at me, and I now have seven children. And some people look at me and say, that's all right. That's what Brother Jones is called for. That's the biggest damnable lie that the devil ever dropped in their heart. I'm 28 years old. By nature, I'd like to take my wife and have a big time. I used to, not anymore. I love my family. You can get yourself harnessed to the gospel of Christ if you want to. You can obey. He says, he that loves me keeps my commandments. You can learn to do it. I'm not perfect. God, I wish I were. I wish I had 10 times more of God than what I have. But I don't know how people can pass up scripture after scripture and not do it. God for some time has been putting it upon our hearts to sell what we have and give it to the corporate community of our church. Our temple now is starting our restaurant, a mission that will feed people without cost and no charge. We're starting a grocery, and there'll be no charge for food. We ask people to give as God blesses them, not with charge for anything, because God is free, and everything he has is free, and he's been provided. Our aged home, the nicest in the state of Indiana, has been established on the basis from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. And the devil will try to kill you every way he can. We have rehabilitated. I've been a chaplain in the state prison, the woman's prison there for some time, part-time relationship last year. And we've taken about five prisoners from that prison. And we had some fortunate experiences. But the other day, after taking one girl for 3 years, 2 years rather, taking her in faith to almost the time when she'd be paroled, she went into my mail, because when I have people working for me, I trust them. She went into our mail and forged $400 worth of checks this week. And it's gone into, I don't know how much it's going to get into. That's what Brother Klein was telling me about. When we're trying to adopt 10 more children to bring them into our church homes, Brother Beam's trying to get one, and it's taking $5,000 to get them over, and no cooperation. I tell you, you never saw anything like it in your life. The richest churches in our town says, oh, well, they're good people, but they're kind of fanatical, you know. They're building their big mosques and building their mausoleums and their cathedrals and their gravestones. That's the truth. I don't know what's going on in Columbus, but in Indianapolis they're building 1.5 million churches. I tell you, that's of the devil. I said, that's of the devil. Building great big shrines and great big cathedrals and plush cushions for us to sit on and fine cathedral windows when people are starving to death. I tell you, I'd risk being a whore any day than to be in that kind of an outfit when Jesus come. I wouldn't be in it. Did you hear what I said? Our church of plaster is beginning to fall, but we got that synagogue for $50,000, a great big synagogue that cost them $500,000 to build. We bought what somebody else had, and we're putting our restaurant in it, we're putting our commissary in it, we feed and clothe 50 to 100 people a week, and we're putting our grocery in it, and we'll have that thing all used for the kingdom work of God. And if we can't use something in that thing, we're even going to fence off that dome. We're tired of heating unnecessary parts, because I believe that everything ought to be used for the glory of God. No time to waste any of God's money. Can you say amen? And if you're wasting God's money today by putting it in some church that's just doing a rat race of formality and feeding some preacher and keeping him plush and just building a form, you're doing a work that is wrong. You better get out of that thing and become a part of the active work of the Spirit. If you don't have anybody you can believe in, I can believe in this man because he's a real man of God. But if you don't find anybody you can believe in, then you go to doing the work of the gospel. They bless the Lord. They continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as could be saved. Said they had joy and they had gladness. They look at us, we're gloomy, we're tired, we're clock watching. Tonight there's some clock watchers in here looking for a loaf and a fish. It's no good. Looking for a reed to be shaken in the wind. That's not what you need to be looking for. You need to be hearing what the Word of God has to say. I know if there wasn't a few people healed here every week that I come, or a person, different ones called out by discernment. I know. I'm not telling you any riddle. I know some of you wouldn't come to hear me preach. But brother, sister, you're not going to be saved by the signs. You're going to be saved by the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to realize that when God comes in, there will be joy. If you're not as drunk as they were on the day of Pentecost, if you're not as reckless, if you're not selling what you have, if you're not trying to dispose of your earthly possessions and give and to share and to have brotherhood and fellowship, there's something lacking in your heart. Why, it's common. We should be. They thought they were drunk on that day of Pentecost because there's nothing better than old drunk. You ever see a drunk? I remember one time a fellow telling about a drunk that he knew. And he come up to him in the early part of the evening, a preacher, and he said he came up to him in the early part of the evening, and he was talking to this drunk, and he says, oh, he says, Brother John, he says, if you get down there where my brother lives, tell him I'm about to starve. My hogs are about dead, and the barn's about to fall down. And he says, my God, if he don't send me some help before long, I'll surely be in the poorhouse. And the preacher John just happened to be a little bit later on the evening, about 4 or 5 hours later, he happened to meet the same man. He was just a little bit, that way on old crow. The fellow looked at him and he says, hey, Preacher John, he says, you see my brother, tell him if there's just anything I can do for him to call me up. Amen. That's what you'll do when you get drunk. You'll change from your woeful, complaining, gloomy, downhearted, defeated spirit, saying I'm about to die, but you may not have a dime, you may not have nothing. As Jesus said, having nothing, yet possessing all things. You have a faith, a peace, a power. You don't know where the next dollar is going to come in. Why, some people today were crying, this week were crying, when one check after another was cut up, said you have to take her to law. The only way you're going to get your money back, take her to law. My Bible says go not to law. And I wouldn't go to law if she took $2,000. If God can't fight my battles, then I'll not fight him at all. If the mercy of the Lord, even now, this young girl, because I have shown mercy to her, it may be the thing that will change her life. Or at least it's not going to hurt her. But we cannot help by going to law and wrestling with men. And some people worry about their money and worry about tomorrow and try to lay away for tomorrow. Bless your heart. The kingdom is going to be to those that have faith to take it, to those that will be like a little child. He said, except you become as a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom. Some of you don't like to hear this tonight. Some of you don't like strong preaching, but you better get ready
to hear a lot more of him if you want to grow up in the kingdom of God. I know some of you about the times you don't want to do. Some of you haven't looked me in the eyes for the last 5 minutes, but I'm going to look at you straight now. Because I want to tell you, straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life, and few there be that find. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Not just buttons and bows, but a inward, heartfelt holiness that will change you and clean you. I may not be a lot of things, but there's one thing I know I am tonight, a messenger sent of God to say, prepare you the way of the Lord, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is ahead. I know that as well as I'm standing here. I know there's weaknesses in my life, but I know I'm a forerunner, and I know some of you are forerunners. I know we've been ordained for this hour to get people back to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Repent, and repentance is going to start at the house of God. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Before we can go to the tavern, before we can go to the den of thieves, before we can get the money changers out of the vice world changed and delivered, the church is going to have to be delivered. You bow your head tonight. You haven't been drunk for the Spirit of God. I hope you get drunk. If you're mad at me tonight, you're not got the Holy Ghost. I said, if you're mad at me tonight, you haven't got the Holy Ghost. Don't go away from me, man. The old saying says, just go away. Don't go away mad. And I wish some of us would go away. I wish all the temple tamperers and all the hypocrites and double-minded people would go away. And I wish that God, that we that are hungry and those that are really meaning business with God would get together and would shake their dust, shake the dust of worldly pollution and church corruption out of their system and begin to serve God with all their heart and all their mind and all their strength. Yeah. I cannot apologize for preaching an hour and a half tonight. You need it. Amen. Even though I ramble, even though it's not the best discourse, it was needed. And we all need it. Somebody's got to preach to me. I've got a dear brother, Irons, that tall prophet, that precious Negro brother, who's a prophet from God if ever was one, my associate minister. But I need a little whip and he can give it to us. When we need to get lined up, he can line us up like nothing flat. And he don't say anything sweet and gentle. He just says, thus saith the Lord. And some of us need to hear, thus saith the Lord! Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand! Brother, play something that's on your heart. Hallelujah. Come on, let me have a cup of coffee. Come on, let me have a cup of coffee. They'll tell you the truth. I went out last night and told those boys that were smoking and carrying on out there, about 15 of them from the church. I said, I love you. And our church, and I know Brother Klein has the same spirit. I said, we have times of fellowship when we do clean recreation. But I said, in that house of God, around the house of God, that thing can't go on. And tonight, we wouldn't be your friend if we didn't tell you what is going to be required of you. You're going to have to line up. I'm going to have to line up. Some awful precious people missed the kingdom almost. Moses went out of Egypt, left the splendor of Egypt, but he smote the rock. My God, it was just on the border, but he smote the rock. Where is that power tonight that would want to live to the saints? I don't get healed. What I put my hand to doesn't prosper. Have you given your heart? Have you said yes? Have you just read a few scriptures and listened to a few preachers tell you that sharing and breaking bread and going from house to house, selling what you have, that was for the Jews, but Acts 2:4 is for today. Have you listened to men? It's all right, take it easy, he wants to go back.
Bow your heads for just a moment. Bless the holy name. I get kind of restless, I'm tired. Bless the heart. Oh, hallelujah. It's all right, you can take him. It's all right. Don't bother me if you wanted to bring him right on back. Because babies get awful restless. Like Jesus, there's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Keep your heads bowed for a moment so I can get the mind of the Lord. Oh, there's such a famine for the hearing of the word. Not preaching of it, but the hearing of it. My God, people will not endure sound doctrine. Some of you saints, pray. Pray. Some of you that really love Christ, pray with all your heart that people will be inclined to the gospel, to do what thus saith the Lord. Is there a heart here? Is there a heart here that needs something from heaven that will lift your hand? Thank you, 3, 4, 5. You that need something from God, you really want to pray through, you come up this altar, I will pray with you personally. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need not only tongues, but the power. Tongues are the power. You come up to this altar, God will fill you. You that lift your hand, we need converts so badly. We need those that are willing to go all the way with God. Jesus, praise your holy name. Would you hum it, just hum it, just hum that song. Lift your hand. Can you lift your hand now? Believe the Lord. We'll take that. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Take it all. Take those spasms, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands, sister. Lift them both. Put your hands up. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring healing to this life. Father, you see the vacancy. We pray that thou would fill her with your presence and your power. In the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.